God wants us to do. He wants us to become like His Son, with the traits of God and Jesus to be evident in us. So I want you to turn with me in the Scriptures to Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Remember that section right there. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this is... For this I toil, struggle with all energy, that He powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have been seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in mystery, which is in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Paul says it a little different in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. Who is he speaking to? Are you saying that Christ is not formed in people, then they are Christians? Yes, he's speaking to Christians. That they would have Christ formed in them. Which means when we become a Christian, God is not through with us. He's only beginning to reform us into Christ's image. My wife often says this: my parents get smarter and smarter every day. Many of you heard that? I think she's right. She says, "My mama, when I got to be 60, 50, and 60, I began to realize that woman was smart." Now, when I was young, I used to think they were dumb. But now I know my parents are smart, were smart. In essence, as she was saying, I grew in and matured, I matured into a knowledge that let me understand the truths that they had been trying to teach me all along. But some of the things we don't get until we're in our 50s and 60s. Now, that leads me to another point, and that is this. My dad was a pastor. He was a pastor for 55 years. He was a missionary overseas for 10 years. He came back and was an interim pastor for 10 years until he was 88. And then he was done. Well, I hope I can go, shoot, 88. But he passed away at 93. And when he was 82, got this for Christmas, okay? At 82 years of age, he had been a pastor, was a missionary, when he got this, he was an interim pastor. He got his doctorate. He got his master's. He got his doctorate. He studied with some of the greatest minds in the world when he was young. He went and studied overseas when he was there. He taught at a university in Rome. Okay? He taught there. biblical studies. But I want to read what this man, at 82, after all of that, said in his journal. He wrote these things in his journal. I got his journal. It was devotional. And it says this. This is my dad speaking. I am not as much aware of what change Jesus made in me that others can see, as much as the change he made in me that I can see. And that change has been overwhelming. And the change continues. The biggest change is seen by me against the backdrop of this world. I am not a follower of the world and its ways. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I want you to notice what he said there. And that change has been overwhelming, and the change continues. At 82, after you've been to all the seminaries, after you've taught universities, after you've got your doctorate, after you've read probably 5,000 books, you still are being changed? Yes! Is there ever a point in a Christian's life when they reach it? No. But I see so many Christians that have plateaued as if they have reached it. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do it. I pretty much know what it's all about. That's not what the book. The point isn't to read the word so that you can understand what it's all about. It's so that Christ can transform. It is so that his image can be revealed in you. So you can become more and more every day like Christ. You become an image bearer. And my dad was saying this, and I agree. He studied. I would go over there when he was 93, before he died. And he and my mother would sit out on the porch, and they would be studying the Word of God every day. He would look at me and say, "Son, I learned so much today." 93. "Well, son, I learned so much today." What did he learn? Well, Jesus, the image of Christ. He learned how to walk a little closer to God. He learned what it meant to walk in the steps of Jesus. Truly, and what it did, what the implications of that were. I perceive there's a strong sense in the Christian world today that somehow there's a place we reach and we don't need to go any further. It's a comfortable place. A place where I don't have any new challenges. I'm still with the old challenges. Still doing the same thing I did 5 or 10 years ago. I'm still walking the same way with God I did 10 years ago. These are usually people who don't feel like they need any more. And the reason is because they are spiritually immature. The people who don't think they need anything are the most spiritually immature of all people. Not the most mature. Because the more mature you become in Christ, the more you realize, "I am so far from it. God help me. I am 1,000,000 miles away. I want to get closer." There is almost a sense sometimes by Christians of an arrogance that somehow I'm where God wants me. It's dangerously close to rebellion. I take care of a 2-year-old daughter, granddaughter. Now I want you to know something about that 2-year-old. She's smarter than me. She's smarter than her grandma. She's smarter than her parents. 2-year-olds have arrived. Yesterday, going home in the car, Friday, going home in the car, her mother put her in the car seat, and when they got to the house, she said, now this is to her mother, Lisa, it's time to get me out. I said, okay. But she's really smart because I was opening a box and the instructions were on the top. I've never said anything to her about this. And she looked and she said, oh, that's the instructions. And she took that thing or threw it like this. And I said, what are you looking at? You can't read. And she put it aside and she says, okay. She's ready. This 2-year-old knows better which direction to go. We get in the car and we back out of the driveway and she says, no, go that way. You don't even know where we're going. Who are you to tell us where we are going? We get ready to take her home. Sometimes we have to take her home. Sometimes her parents pick her up. But we take her home, and as we get close to home, she realizes where she is, and she says, no. I want to stay at Nana's house. No. I could go on and on and on telling you what you already know and what you can think about with a 2-year-old. Hear me. Christians many times act like 2-year-olds. When it comes to their relationship with the Father.
No.
God, you want to take me this way? No, I'm going to go that way. No, God. I know myself better than you do, God. I'm going this way. I know the instructions. And you pull the instructions up and gaze over it and go, I know that. And you can't even read. My dad told me one day, when we were on a missions trip, and it goes back to 2001, we were on a missions trip in Ukraine, he looked at me and he said, I am just learning to understand what God is saying to me. He was an elderly man. Say this to you to say, transformational growth is a free gift of God. But we as Christians must realize we need it. There are many who don't think they need God. They don't think they need to grow spiritually. You just look at our Bible studies on Thursday night, or our women's meeting, or our discipleship this evening, see how many people show up. That's who thinks they need it. Those people don't think they need it. I'm a rock. Why should I need that? But my daddy, Father God, my daddy loves me so much. He loves me as much as I love that 2-year-old. And he looks at me and he says, Wham. I'm going to try to take you where you need to be if you just release it. And I go, Wham. And he said, Yeah, wham. Here we go again. Always wanting to be in control. Always wanting to tell me what you should do. Always in charge. My wife looked at me few months ago. And she said, do you know what is the number one thing you miss about that theater that you used to be a part of? I said, what? She said, that you're not in charge anymore. Now, I'm not in charge of my house. I've got a team. There's a 2-year-old and a nan who pretty much are in charge. I said, what do you want me to do? Clean this wall up. They do. I am in charge of spiritually. Hear me. I believe that most of us want to be in charge of our own lives, and we don't want God to be in charge of our lives. Look at God many times, most of the time, and say, God, I'll handle it. I've got enough knowledge right now. I don't need anything. Really don't need anything, God. I encourage you as disciples to realize the disciples, there was a man, his name was Justin Martyr. Some of you have heard that name. He was a famous Christian in the 2nd century, and Justin Martyr was an early disciple of the disciples. And when he was dying, he said this. He said, would I had a few more years to learn what it meant to be a Christian. He was an elder. I don't think there's ever a place for all of us that we need to grow and mature. There's never a place we don't need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other to mature in Christ. What this man said up here in the testimony is atheists are isolated. Christians are united in one spirit in Christ. And I love what you said yesterday when you said, I'm glad I'm in North Carolina, where my two families are, my two children, and I'm glad I'm here with my church family. This is so good. I encourage you to trust God with your life. Stand with where He wants and what He wants you to be. Let us pray. Lord, it's hard to be image bearers. As a matter of fact, we can't think of anybody to be harder to bear an image of than the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How in the world, Lord, do we do that? And yet you've called us to be a reflective image of your Son. Most of us, all of us, have a long ways to go, and Lord, I pray that we might learn each day that next step, and being able to turn the wheel of the car over to you, that we might travel in your direction. We give you honor, glory, and praise, for we know that direction is beautiful, and wonderful, and glorious, and we thank you for it. Lord, it's in the name.